Ruth chapter number 2. Ruth chapter number 2. Not many places you can go in life and have this much fun and still remember to be able to talk about it the next morning. And that's always a blessing. Can the world see Jesus in you? Amen. Ruth chapter number 2, and we'll look in verse number 1, read about 12 or 13 verses, and then that's probably all we'll have time for tonight. But I want to get into the good part if we can. And when we left last Sunday night, we found famine, we found funerals, we found all sorts of bad things in chapter number 1. We saw bad things that happened to Naomi. She lost her husband. She lost her 2 sons. And now she's left with Naomi and her daughter-in-law named Ruth. And her other daughter-in-law chose to go back to the world. But Ruth said, wherever you're going, I want to go. I want to go back to Bethlehem. If you're going back to Bethlehem, I want to go to church where you go to church. I want to worship your God. I'm tired of where I come from. I want to go where you're going. And so we find when we end in verse number 22 of chapter 1, we find Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Now notice verse number 1 of chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth and of the family of Elimelech, that's her husband, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. She said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap, that's an old Anglo-Saxon word. That word is what we would call perhaps or happening, perhaps. And her hap was to light on part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Now y'all see what he's a-doing. He said, don't glean in nobody else's field. You just stay in mine. Hallelujah. I ain't got to that part yet, but I'm wanting to get there. He asked one of his reapers, he said, who is this girl? And he said, well, that's, you know, that Moabite, that's that girl from out of town, that strange, you know. He said, well, get me her phone number. That's what it means in the Hebrew, you see. And so then Boaz, verse number 8, then Boaz, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink that which young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto the mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto the people which thou knowest not hitherto. And the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me. For that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaiden, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens." And we'll stop reading there. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for already what we've read, already what we have sung together. Lord, it's already been good. A good number of people gathered on a Sunday night. Lord, I thank you for that, and help me never to take that for granted, that these folks have come. And Lord, I don't want them to come to hear me, but Lord, I want them to get something from this book, Lord, that we can feed from this book and glean from this book. And so we'll be able to take that and feed upon it throughout this whole week. I pray that you do that for us now. Start with me. Go plumb all the way to the back of the building. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Now in chapter 1, we left famine, we left funerals, no mention of Boaz, no mention of Boaz whatsoever, but things are fixing to change drastically. How many of you, ladies and gentlemen, before you got saved, things were bad, things weren't looking too good, and you were on the bottom as far down as you can go? I mean, you was under the carpet. You would have to look up to reach the bottom of the carpet, and I'm telling you, you was so far down, but all of a sudden, somebody came by your way and told you the gospel, and things changed drastically. Well, this is what happened to Ruth. Ruth came. She decided. She said this. She said, "I'm tired of this old way of living. I'm tired. This hadn't never got me nothing but funerals and famine. I've never been this discouraged. These small G-O-D gods has never helped me one bit. Naomi, I've heard about what comes out of Bethlehem. I'm going home with you. And wherever you go to church, wherever you live, wherever you be buried, wherever you go to church, where your God is, I'm going to be there." And boy, she got up the next morning and she said, "Hey, Naomi, won't you let me go and glean in these fields? Let me see what I..." Hey, she was willing to work. Because the Bible says something about if you don't work, you don't eat. This wasn't a lazy woman. She had good character. And this is something we're lacking a lot of in this day and time. Now, ladies, let me help you. Now, what I'm talking about, not necessarily older ladies, but and all of you, but especially the younger ladies, because I believe Ruth was a young girl. Her husband had died, but let me tell you something. Nothing in chapter 2 is mentioned about Ruth's beauty. But a whole lot is mentioned about her character. And I think in the day and time we live in today, we edify beauty and we don't mention character. Chapter 2 will teach you beauty. Now listen, folk, men, beauty is important. But you take a beautiful woman and she don't have character, you're going to be in trouble. And we've elevated beauty. And I am for. I'm telling you what, I'm for beauty. Hallelujah. I'm for it. Hallelujah, I'm for it. But I'm telling you, men, I think as preachers and Sunday school teachers, we need to train not only our young girls, but our young men to be people of character. Character, and I'll say a little bit more about that here in just a few minutes. But here we find the introduction to Boaz. Boaz shows up. And here in verse number 2, Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, "Let me go down the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she sent her to go, my daughter. She went and came, gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to lighten the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. Now, watch this. A young lady, a young boy, who makes their mind up and says, "I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways I'm going to acknowledge him and let him direct my path. God, I want you, but I'm not going to sit down and wait to you for you to put it in my lap. I'm going to go out and let you direct my path." Brother Thomas got up here this morning, did a great job opening the service this morning. And he said this, he said, I prayed, Lord, put somebody in my path that I can witness to. And the Lord, within less than 2 hours, put somebody in his path that he could witness to. What I'm telling you is, you get up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm going to go out my regular routine, but Lord, I want you to direct my path. I want you to put people in my path that's going to that I can help the most, and I want you. Listen, Ruth did that. She said, "I'm done with these small G-O-D gods. I'm looking, Naomi, for your God, and I'm just going to go glean in a field." And her help, she wound up in the field that belonged to Boaz, somebody that was kin. You say, well, that's a coincidence. That's not a coincidence. That's God. That's God. And you say, can God really do it? Well, yes, he can do that. And just by hap, she wound up gleaning in the field of somebody that was kin to her mother-in-law, that somebody one day is going to marry her and redeem her and buy her back. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. From a place of nowhere and put her, the great-grandmother of King David. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Boaz. Boaz's father was Salmon. You know who Salmon? You know who Boaz's mama was? Boaz's mama was Rahab the harlot. You say, I can't believe his mama was a harlot. Hey, God can bring you from the bottom. And I'm about to enjoy my own preaching. He can take you from the bottom and put you on the top. He can take you out of Moab and put you into Bethlehem. He can put you into a field to where you'll be blessed going in, blessed going out. And the windows of heaven will open and God will pour out a blessing if you will trust him and let him direct your path. Amen. That woman, she wasn't lazy. She said, let me go glean in the field. And in verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. That's just a Jewish greeting and a reply. Then said Boaz unto the servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Now, I was, saying something about that a while ago, but this, you have to understand, this Moabite girl, she looked a little different than all the rest of them Jewish girls. And so he looked and he saw her and she stood out to him. And he inquired. He said, Who is this damsel right here? I can tell she's a stranger. She don't belong here. I can tell she don't belong here. But I just want to know who she is. And they said, well, this girl, she called this morning, and she said, could I glean in the field today? And I said, well, yeah, you can glean here. That'd be fine. And Boaz said, hey, Ruth, I know I'm just meeting you and all, but from now on, don't go to nobody else's field. You just come to mine. And when you get thirsty, my servants over there, they've already got some water drawn. You just go over there and drink what they, you don't even have to draw it yourself. You ain't got to draw it. Just go over there and drink from what they've already drawn. And Ruth, don't look nowhere else. Nowhere else. I got the best fields around. If you want to glean, hey, now let me throw this in there. I know everybody's happy and all that, and we're trying to get there, but I'm going to tell you. Now, look. Now, listen. This is the Bible way. You say, what were these poverty? Poverty. People in poverty. Why are they gleaning in this man's field? Well, I'm going to tell you. This is the Old Testament. This is the Bible way of welfare. Y'all ready? Bible way of welfare. Brother J.C. back there, farmer, great farmer in this community. But this is what they did in the Bible days. Boaz, those fields would be probably a square. And what they would do when they got to that square, they'd cut that square off on that corner. And they'd come down and cut the little corner off. And the corners in the field were left for the widows and the orphans and the poor folks. They didn't pick it for them. If you wanted it, come get it. If not, stay on the couch. Hallelujah. Now listen, I'm not knocking. Hey, some folks can't work, and we got a system built up for that, and for folks that have trouble with that, and we understand. We understand disability. We understand all of that. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord we got some provision set it up. But I think this country has been raised on a way that they abuse that privilege and that system. The way it was set up. Ruth, if you want it, Ruth said, Naomi, let me go glean in the field because they ain't going to bring it to our house. So let me go out there and start gleaning on these corners. And she started gleaning on these corners, and that's where all these corners on these man's fields, they'd cut them corners off, and that was the welfare system. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Now that's found in Leviticus 19, if you don't believe me. Leviticus 19 will tell you that's what they cut the corners off, and they left the corners of the field for the widows and the orphans and the poor folks, and they'd come out and glean. That's how they stayed afloat, and they had food. But you'll see down here, look at verse number 6. And the servant was set over the reapers, answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel. It came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And now, this is a conversation that Ruth had with the servant, and said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers, after the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Now, you see that right there? We know this woman here, not a lazy woman, she started at daybreak and she's worked. The people that come check on, they don't come till sundown and check on and see the progress of the day. So Boaz didn't show up till late afternoon. This woman had been there from morning, plumb all the way. She done worked plumb all the way to the evening. And it says she only took just a few breaks over there in the house. And there's short breaks at that. I mean, it wasn't 15 minutes and she took 30. If you're supposed to take a 15-minute break, take a 15-minute break. She probably didn't take the whole 15. She probably got out there. Why? Because her livelihood is depending upon this man's field. You say, preacher, what's the spiritual application for us today? I'm going to tell you. When you get saved, you ought to have a desire to glean from Boaz's field. You say, who's Boaz? Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get saved, you want the blessings of God? Glean in his field. You want the blessings? Let me go over here. You want the blessings of God? Glean in his field. If you don't glean in his field, you will starve to death. And the Lord says, hey, I'm going to give you 66 books, 66 fields to glean in. I'm not even going to cut the corners. I'm going to give you the whole field. 66 fields if you want to glean in those fields. I'll pour out my blessing upon you. And I will show you things in here that you didn't think. Where in the world did that come from? They just put that in there last week. I've read the book of Ruth for 100 years. And look, they just put that in there. The Lord just, you know what he did? He just put a letter, extra handfuls on purpose right there. Knew you'd come around through there and you'd need that right there. You just pick it up. Hallelujah. I'm talking about this. Boaz had favor on this stranger. An outcast, somebody that didn't look like everybody else, that didn't act like everybody else. She stood out like a sore thumb. And Boaz says, you know what? Don't look at nobody else's field. I'm going to take care of you. Matter of fact, we'll keep on reading. He told the reapers, he said, psh, 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 look, when you bag up some of that, those sheaves, just drop some. And they said, what do you mean? That's money. So just drop it. If you drop it, just act like you dropped it. And don't turn around and pick it up. Just leave it there. And Ruth's over here gleaning. She's like, it's already been picked. Let me go back over here. This has already been picked. Somebody done the work for me. If you'll put forth a little effort and show God you mean business, he might put a little something out there that's already been picked for you. He found favor. He found favor. Boaz says, hey, this girl right here, I'm telling you. And listen, look at verse number 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Called her a daughter. Called her a daughter. Now, you think about this. Think about him calling her a daughter. You think about this. He called her a daughter. Christians are called the bride of Christ. We're also called, John 1:12, we're called the sons of God. And then in Proverbs, he says Jesus Christ is our elder brother. Now you think, Jesus Christ is our elder brother, we're sons of God, and the bride of Christ. And you're worried about eternal security. Oh, I might lose it in the middle of the night. You got Jesus as your brother, God as your father, and the bride of Christ. I mean, don't get excited or nothing. But now look, verse number 9. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch? Hey, you know what he told them men? He said, y'all see a girl over there? Keep your eyes off of her. I'm planning on marrying that. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, put that in Dyersburg, Tennessee for me. Well, let me put that in Dyersburg, Tennessee for you. Before you got saved, you were over here in the land of Moab. Nobody wanted you. Nobody cared for you. You was in the land of no time. Nobody, you looked like different than anybody else. Nobody wanted you. I mean, you stunk. Hey. I'm talking about the nostrils of God now. You might have smelled good, had cologne on, but in the nostrils of God. And listen, there's somebody came your way and brought you from nowhere and put you on the top. Hallelujah. Put you on top. Made you somebody, made you a son of God. You say, what about us ladies? Sons of God, general term, children of God, right here, sons of God. The bride of Christ. Put Ruth in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, King David. Hallelujah. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. We're just talking about getting brought from the bottom to the top. Ruth, hey, and the Lord came our way. And if you will show a little diligence, you start gleaning in that field, he'll put a little handfuls on purpose for you. Amen. Verse number 9, he said, let not thine eyes be on the field to do reap, and do thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, hey Ruth, if you get thirsty, go into the vessels and drink that which the young men have already drawn. Now, verse 10, here's the invitation. When you figure out and when you learn what Boaz has done for you, when you figure out and you learn, I understand when you first get saved, you don't figure out that you're the bride of Christ, the son of God, the elder brother of Jesus, or Jesus our elder brother, and you don't know that all your sins have been forgiven and that you've been placed in the body of Christ, baptized by the Holy Spirit, in Him, in Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You learn that stuff gradually. But when Ruth found out the faith, look at what she said. Look at verse number 10. 10 in numerology. I forgot to tell y'all. Boaz is a Jew. Boaz is a Jew. Y'all with me? He's looking at this Gentile girl. Now listen, I know it's hot and I know y'all sleepy, but look here. Grab a hold of this one. He's a Jew. He's looking at a stranger, an outcast, a nobody, somebody nobody wants. She just so happened to be gleaning his field, and he said, "Hey, how you doing? Hey, there was a day when you were sitting on a church pew somewhere and nobody wanted you. You was an outcast. And the Lord come by and sat in your seat and said, hey, how you doing? Amen. Ain't you glad for the Lord when he come by and sat in your lap and said, hey, how you doing? Amen. I said, Lord, I'm doing terrible. Doing horrible. He said, won't you come glean over in this field? Hallelujah. I'm feeling Pentecostal. Won't you come glean in this field? And I'm telling you. Now look, verse 10, after you find that out what the Lord has done for you, you know what you ought to do every day? Verse 10, Gentile number. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, you ought to say this every day. Every day. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? That thou should, hallelujah, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger. When you get to heaven, it's not going to be, oh, look, son, I made it. Look what I did. You're going to be looking for the throne of God saying, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply took the cross I cling. The only reason I'm up here is somebody found grace. And he looked my way when nobody else wanted me. He looked my way when the devil wanted to stomp me in the ground. I was worshiping other gods, and he showed me he was the capital G-O-D, and that he was the only one, and him only shall I serve. And he picked me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet on the solid rock, established my goings, put a new song in my heart, even praise under our God. Stay in your seat if you want to, but we've been brought from the bottom to the top. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, that's good. Hallelujah. Well, felt like I was in John Hagee's church in, boy. Hallelujah. Verse 11, but Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done to the mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto the people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now, I really don't have time right now to deal with that, but hey, if you're saved in this room, we don't work to be saved. We work. We serve the Lord because we are saved. And because we are saved, we want to work. And when we get to heaven, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, about verse number 11, where it starts, and he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then he goes into, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, if any man's works abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And Boaz says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given unto thee. You know what 2 John over there says? Says that same wording in 2 John, talking about a full reward. I don't want to get to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, and the Lord says, I wanted to give you this, but you didn't do enough since you weren't saved, and all I could give you was this. Y'all heard about that? I tell this all the time, but it's funny. Y'all heard about that guy? He went up to heaven. St. Peter was showing him all around. He said, boy, that's a beautiful mansion. Man, I can't wait to see mine. He showed him this. He said, well, that's Paul's mansion over there. And that's John the Baptist's mansion over there. And he's all over there with the folks that have been baptized by him. And all these folks here over here. And all these beautiful mansions. And he said, man, I can't wait to see mine. Peter took him by the hand over here in the back corner of heaven, a shack about to fall down. He said, whose is this? He said, that's yours. He said, well, what happened? He said, all these beautiful mansions up here, and that's mine? He said, well, we did what we could with the material you sent up here. If y'all ain't sending no material up there, y'all better hope it ain't that way. I mean, how much material y'all sending up there to get a full reward? We're not working to be saved. We're working because we are saved. We're gleaning that field. I'm reading this Bible and gleaning that field because I am saved. I'm preaching tonight because I am saved. Amen. I come to church on Sunday because I am saved. Wednesday night because I am saved. Teaching the Bible suit because I am saved. Not trying to be saved. And then, I'm done, verse 12, end of verse 12. Well, read the whole verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work. A full reward be given to thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You see, that terminology, I'll tell you. The Old Testament, they had a tabernacle. In the back behind the Holy of Holies, there was a Ark of the Covenant. On top of that Ark of the Covenant was a mercy seat. On top of that mercy seat was two cherubims. Those cherubims had wings, and they're facing one another, looking down at the center with that bowl in the center, and that's where the blood was placed. Boaz told Ruth, you get up under them wings where that blood is. Let me go over here. Y'all get up under them wings for that blood's put. And trust in the God of heaven. He'll bring you from the bottom. Put you on the top. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for what you've showed us in the Bible. Thank you for this story in the Old Testament that just gives us hope and gives us help. And shows us and just nails it down what the New Testament has already told us. Lord, we sure do thank you. Lord, help us to do verse 10 every day. Everybody in this room that's saved, help us to do verse 10 every day. Fall down on our face, bow our head to the ground, and say, Lord, we don't know why you saw fit to save me. But I sure am glad you found favor. And I found favor in your sight. Lord, I sure do thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for bringing us from the bottom and putting us on the top and placing us into the family of God and the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's all stand. If you want to come pray about something, you come on. You ought to tell him thank you. If you hadn't told him thank you in a while, you ought to tell him. To us. Maybe you don't want to come to the altar, and that's fine, but be sure before you leave the building tonight, if you're saved, tell him. Tell him how grateful you are that grace has come your way, God's righteousness at Christ's expense. Clay.